repeal and replace disastrous Obamacare.
Nobody knew that health care could be so complicated.
I don't know if you want to call this, on Trump's part, a rookie's error, but you don't find a day and say we're going to pass a bill. You build your consensus in your caucus, and when you're ready, you set the date to bring it to the floor.
And Obamacare is the law of the land. It's going to remain the law of the land until it's replaced. We did not have quite the votes to replace this law. And so, we're going to be living with Obamacare for the foreseeable future. I don't know.
You know, I wasn't going to say this at all, but I can't help it. There you go again.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. And what a great day to be on the radio. What a week full of news. So much to cover, but we have to narrow it down. And, of course, it's going to be the number one story to lead, and that, of course, is the defeat of Trump Care, the American Health Care Act. But can Democrats snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? Well, that's very possible, especially with the attitude of many. And then following that, there's disarray on the House Intelligence Committee in the investigation of the connections between the Trump administration and Russia. And hopefully we'll have time to get to the unrecorded story of the day and the week and last week. And that is the conflict that's going on the Israeli border with Syria and the Golan Heights between Hezbollah and Israel, and Russia is caught in the middle. But the most important thing on today's show is the return to the WWPR studio of a longtime voice here on the air, and that is Augie Smith. Augie, good morning.
Good
afternoon.
Morning. Well, almost on the edge of both, right? That's what the show was called, The Morning Edge, and, I'm still thinking about doing that again. Where I'm going to do it from is going to be the interesting problem, if I do it at all. I miss it a lot. I miss the people out there that managed to get into us despite the technical problems we had in the past. I guess you've ironed a lot of those out, Henry. I hope you have. In any event, the issue of the Trump debacle, they only pulled the bill. It can be voted on at any time all over again. This thing can recycle in any curious way and any possibility. I think it's an interesting conjecture to put forward, but it's a reality.
Well, let's bring the audience up to date if they haven't been able to catch the news, although that's doubtful, or maybe they haven't heard all the to be said about it. House Republicans pulled their health care bill, the American Health Care Act, just before the vote was to take place, and that would have been yesterday afternoon around 3:30. Democrat Representative Barbara Lee of California described the bill's failure as a, quote, victory for the resistance. Well, the New York Times writes that it's a humiliating defeat for President Trump on the first legislative showdown of his presidency. The decision to pull the bill followed a meeting at the White House between House Speaker Paul Ryan and Trump, in which Ryan told the president that there weren't enough votes for the measure to pass. Ryan said at a press conference Friday that he told the president that the bill would be pulled and that Trump agreed. As for the party's failure to repeal the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, Trump said, big things are hard to do, as did Paul Ryan, and that may be attributed to President Trump by mistake. I think it was Paul Ryan. But let's take a little walk down memory lane and hear what the original Trump Care plan supposedly was.
Proud of what we put forth having to do with health care. Obamacare is a complete and total disaster. They can say what they want. They can guide you any way they want to guide you. In some cases, they guide you incorrectly. In most cases, you realize what's happened. It's imploding as we sit. We're going to be submitting, as soon as our secretary is approved, almost simultaneously, shortly thereafter, a plan. It'll be repeal and replace. It will be essentially simultaneously. It will be various segments, you understand, but will most likely be on the same day or the same week, but probably the same day, could be the same hour. So we're going to do repeal and replace, very complicated stuff. And we're going to get a health bill passed. We're going to get health care taken care of in this country. You have deductibles that are so high.
Well, I don't think we have to relive that much more to know that that isn't the way it happened. And this was Paul Ryan yesterday.
I've said this before. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains today. We came really close today, but we came up short. I spoke to the president just a little while ago, and I told him that the best thing I think to do is to pull this bill, and he agreed with that decision. I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Doing big things is hard. All of us, myself included, we will need time to reflect on how we got to this moment, what we could have done to do it better.
Well, let's cut to the chase. What does that really mean, Paul Ryan?
It means constipation. That's really hard.
Obamacare is the law of the land. It's going to remain the law of the land until it's replaced. We did not have quite the votes to replace this law. And so, yeah, we're going to be living with Obamacare for the foreseeable future. I don't know.
Well, we're going to be living with Obamacare for the foreseeable future, and I, for one, am happy, although I don't think they're going to lay down and roll over that. What about you, Augie?
Well, it's the easy way to go would be the way that says, you know, the Democrats are conjoined. They seem very organized, and they were going to go wholesale against any efforts by the Republicans. And the Republicans are fragmented all over the place. And Trump does like things done neatly and in control. I'm seeing an effort, an outreach that he won't admit that he does to the Democrats to bring forward not-for-profit health care. Insurance companies still run it, but not for profit. Change their status, and suddenly you have Medicare for everybody.
Well, that is how Medicare is run now. And the fact is that if you don't know this already, and maybe when you dial that number on your Medicare card, you think you are talking to a government bureaucrat. And that really isn't the case. You are talking to an employee of a
insurance company
that has bid and gotten the bid to administer Medicare in your state or region. And so there is a model for this. Now, what I'm worried about, although I heard Chuck Schumer on Rachel Maddow last night, and he did at least give lip service to the idea that they were ready to step forward to improve the Affordable Care Act and address some of the problems and acknowledge some problems. But Nancy Pelosi, on the other hand, and by the way, just a good quick aside, the cracked Henry Raines investigative team, you may not know this, but there was an encounter between Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump in the halls of Congress. I don't know what he was doing in there. He gets around. Who knows why? Who knows why he does? We have the audio of a confrontation between Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump. We'll play that in just a few minutes once we beat this topic to death.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, she was twisting the knife quite a bit yesterday, and the glee, especially on some of the MSNBC hosts this morning, was a little over the top. And it's not done yet, but let's get you in on this, and then let's actually look at what it means for people in their real lives. What do you think about the Democrats and their attitude after this?
Well, the celebration is joyous for lots of people. I mean, when I've been predicting this thing to go down for some time, and it has done that. A lot of things that seem, well, they're going to pull the fat out of the fire. Mm-mm. It's already bacon. It's being eaten. It's being thrown away because it's too rotten to eat. I watch Joy in the morning. She's all over Manafort. They're waiting for the Russian situation and Nunes to be a problem down the road. I'm diverting a little bit because Nancy Pelosi does not look good when she does splits. I mean, it just doesn't become that lady. I think when you cheer that way, and anyway, you deprive Trump from grabbing her in the place he usually likes to grab women. And all of that becomes rather corrupt and nasty. But, yeah, I think the Democrats are happy. Can they pull themselves together? They have the most disorganized, fragmented Mark Twain Democratic Party since we've ever seen it. I mean, it's I don't know, Henry. I don't know the answer.
You're listening to Augie Schmitz. Those were his words, not Henry Raine's words, but he'll stand by them, I'm sure.
I sure will.
And if you have a comment, you can call us at 941-745-1490. That's 941-745-1490. This is only our third week on the air, and there isn't a whole lot on the air around us on the station, so I don't know just who's listening. I know we get a lot of online activity, so we do welcome your calls here.
You know, Henry, the last show I interviewed...
Well, let's tell people. You were on in the morning for, what, 3 years here?
Four years. Four and a half, actually.
3 days a week.
It was 3 days for... Well, it was 2 days, and then we moved to three for a couple of years and back to two. The place had a disaster hit it, and the equipment, which was needing replacement anyway, became impossible to deal with. But last December 1st is when my last show was, and I had contracted a condition called cellulitis, which is often happens to soldiers, a wound, a nick, or whatever.
Use your cell phone too much?
Probably that, too. But cellulitis is something to be aware of and be careful of. You get a bacterial infection that can come from nowhere, and basically
certainly not the studio.
It's anywhere. It can. I didn't realize how many people get this thing. This is a good thing to know. So when I went in the hospital for 5 days, I had no signs. Four doctors trying to figure out how I got the damn thing.
Well, let's take this back to the topic then.
Coming back to the topic.
You have health insurance through the government-run health insurance,
exactly.
Correct? Medicare.
And that didn't cost me a dime as a result. My supplementary is with ARP, and ARP is opposed to the Republican thing, along with the AMA and the ANA, the nurses, and along with a whole bunch of people, hospital organizations, all opposed to this thing. So the crescendo of opposition that was hitting the Republicans was so manifest, and I have to hand it to Maddow. She did show those opposition efforts by the public coming out against the various, frightened Republican Congress.
I have a clip here, and I went to a whole different network to hear the truth about yesterday.
Which
one? It may surprise you.
Fox?
Fox News. And Bret Baier wasn't jubilant yesterday, but he was happening to speak the truth at that moment, and here he is.
Ooh.
And the biggest winner today? President Barack Obama, who came out this week and defended his legacy health care law. It is now clear that Republicans cannot do, at least yet, what they planned on doing in the campaign after campaign, from 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016. Repeal and repeal and replace was the mantra. Barack Obama has the win right now, and it has changed the entire way that we look at health care. It is now the Democrats' version, the ideology that government does have a role in providing health care in some way, shape, or form. The repeal, drag it up by the root, get rid of it, has not worked. They can't get it through a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president. And today is a win for President Barack Obama.
Wow.
Can't find much to disagree with in that one.
He just left out Medicare as a government, a government-managed insurance company-run program. I mean, what it is that the not-for-profit is a good way to go. If you
private think. Administer it,
exactly.
But the government sets the rules that it is administered by. And what this means, though, for the other people that aren't on Medicare, but maybe on Medicaid or maybe buying through the health care exchange, if you have your private insurance through your employer, you're also winning, too, because some of the items that they were trying to get rid of were the essential benefits. If you're a woman, the mammograms. If you're male or female or any other option that is out there, you get a free health care screening in your plan. Now, it's called the essential benefits, and most reasonable people, I feel, if I can speak for most reasonable people, would find those pretty essential. Hence, essential coverage items. So you also still be able to keep your 26-year-old kid in the basement on your plan, at least for a few more months. And you will also be able to get insurance with pre-existing conditions, whether you're buying on the healthcare exchange or not. But the two things...
Excuse me, Henry. Pre-existing conditions that you have, not the insurance company.
Yes. Well, yeah, you're going to have to deal with their pre-existing conditions.
Exactly.
So if you are buying on the healthcare exchange or you have Medicaid, though, it's a big one. One of the things, we had almost a whole hour last week with Dennis Mailey from the Bradenton Times, Alan Crossan here, who has spent a career in healthcare. And just as an aside, to tell you where I'm coming from on some of these items that I'm about to mention, and I mentioned them last week. So I've had the privilege of being on the Manatee County Healthcare Advisory Board for the last year and a half, trying to look at ways to help medically underserved population here in the county, or the ones that are showing up at the ER and draining tax dollars that way. So, first of all, one of the recent statistics that I found out about Medicaid, which we didn't expand in Florida, but this is a Florida statistic, is that half of all births in Florida are Medicaid births. They're funded by Medicaid. One out of every two babies is paid for, as far as the health care and the delivery, by Medicaid. So if they had capped we don't need to go into the formula now, but they would have capped the level of funding. And as our population grew and inflation was adjusted, but not inflation for medical costs, we would have had a tighter and tighter squeeze until you're actually getting to a population you can't squeeze anymore, and that's newborns. So that's one thing. The Medicaid recipients have relief for at least another year or two. Now, if you're on the healthcare exchange, that could have gone out the window in 2018. It doesn't look like they can do that now. They can, and I wouldn't put it past them, attempt to force a collapse by underfunding, but I think the law has some formulas and the taxes are in place that they're going to be able
There was a push last year that they were, in order to prop up the subsidies a little more effectively, was a push for $6 to $8 billion in
and with all the talk of it being a failure and Obamacare collapsing, that is not the facts. And of course, there's been no need for facts for the last two, three months, or before that when they were talking about this. Mm-hmm. Because almost all the people that buy through the healthcare exchange are subsidized, because it goes up to 400% of poverty level, you get a subsidy, they are paying premiums based on their income and their ability to pay. So even if there's only one insurer in the marketplace, you are still getting a plan at an affordable rate. Now, one of the things that we looked at this county and we were put on hold is that some communities, in particular, I talked to administrators in Madison, Wisconsin, and Portland, Oregon, a 501c3 or other charitable organization can buy the health insurance for someone that's needy. So if a person like we have in this county, five dialysis patients that always go to the ER, run up hundreds of thousands of bills each because they can't go to an outpatient center with no insurance, a charitable foundation can buy them insurance, and for, say, a $20,000 a year, 30-year-old income in this county, you can get insurance for $100 a month with a $1 copay for primary care, $3 copay. Yeah, even the people on the advisory board didn't believe this until I showed it to them. $3 specialist copay and a $900 annual out-of-pocket. So a maximum cost, $2,100. For someone that might spend $250,000 on tax rolls.
Hmm. And is that an outlay? Where do the people go for that? Where do they go?
Well, you have to have a charitable foundation that's doing it. And in some communities, because they have been proactive on this, have actually started just trying to help people up to 100% of the poverty level, but now have expanded up to 150 or 200%, depending on the community. In Madison, Wisconsin, it's the university health system that has a charitable
foundation. So what you're doing, what's happening, Henry, what you're basically saying, umbrellas, so to speak, that can overlap and get more people covered.
But it's a big umbrella, and let me tell you what it means to the average person that pays taxes in this county. All right, so now we pay about $5 million a year to the hospitals and other providers in this county for indigent care. We can't wipe it all out with this plan, but we could do a whole lot. So for that plan I was just talking about, for that potential person, about $2,100 cost to the charitable foundation. It's not a taxable item for the individual that receives it. It's a gift from the charitable foundation. No tax consequences there. $2,100 maximum cost to the foundation, and you could bill out $250,000 of dialysis care in a year.
Wow.
In Portland, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, it's not just Portland, it's seven counties in the metro area, and the hospitals fund the foundation because they get a return on investment. For that $2,100 that they're funding that individual, they're getting 1,000% return on their money. So we here in this county, these hospitals and providers that are getting $5 million of tax money, they could kick in a fraction of that, probably in the hundreds of thousands of dollars total, get more money back for themselves, and get it all off the taxpayers.
You should sell that to the decrepit state of Manatee Memorial, because Manatee Memorial is what once was a pristine place, and I really think it's in some decline.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about their quality. I have no questions about their quality, and they are individuals that have to come to the table on all this. But now, the important thing is it looked like it was a done deal. It was no way we could go forward with this. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't know, I may be a committee of one
that's what it takes, Henry.
It can say, we can move forward now, and at least for 2018, we can save the county millions of dollars. Mm. So, anything else you want to go on before we wrap this up?
It's just that the people, you know, hang out there and hope that that they'll get to 65 and live that long and get to the health care that covers them. The shortcut and the salvage of the whole thing is that I think that Trump is looking for a safety place to land and look good. And he's going to try the tax thing. He's going to go there. He didn't get it. You know, the whole debacle of the AHACA, whatever it's called, the American Health
Care.
Healthcare, American Healthcare.
Ryan Care, if you want.
A tax cut for the upper 500,000 on up. I mean, the average of all those people, believe it or not, was 800 to 900 billion. On average, they were going to get per person up to 7 million an individual in a tax cut. So there was a strong interest. The Mercers, who were big backers of Trump, big money. And then the Kochs were opposed to this, which is real curious.
Aren't they also supporters of Breitbart?
But the Mercers? Yeah. Bannon. Bannon's an interesting character, but Bannon is really the brains here. He directs the orchestra, and he's playing in several different orchestras that he's directing. And believe it or not, one of them is on the conservative side of the Catholic Church. If you know anything about him.
Well, I think that we're going to have to save that for when you come back, because we've got to wrap and move on.
The only reason I bring that up is that he is the orchestra leader, and Trump does what he's told. So if it looks like there's too much fighting among the Republicans and they can't go anywhere else, it would not surprise me in the slightest, Henry, if Trump would change parties or at least change his emphasis and move and get the support of the Democrats. Because he knows he's going to pull in the Senate at least five Republicans along with any efforts he puts forward in the Senate.
Create his own party.
Or create his own party, exactly.
Gives him something to do when he's out of office.
There you go. And that may be sooner than anybody realizes.
Well, I might disagree with you on that, but as we wrap this subject up, I said that the cracked investigative team at the Henry Rang Show had managed to get microphones inside the halls of Congress, and by strange coincidence, found their opportunity when Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump they were just passing in the hall, as I understand it from the team that reported back to us.
And the sound was?
Rookie's error, Donald Trump.
Nobody knew that health care could be so complicated.
He may be a great negotiator. Rookie's error for bringing this up on a day.
It's an unbelievably complex subject.
Rookie's error.
The tax cut is going to be major. It's going to be simple, and the whole tax plan is wonderful. But
and clearly you're not ready.
I was cold in that hallway.
Were those high heels? I'm not sure. Or maybe.
I don't even know whose shoes they were. All I got was the audio. Actually, we have other audio later in this, after we finish our next segment. because, again, another exclusive scoop of the Henry Raine Show was played last week, but as we're just getting started again, a lot of people didn't have a chance to hear it. We have an actual recorded phone call where President Obama had proved that he wiretapped Trump, and we were able to get that audio, too. We'll play that in a few minutes also, an actual phone call of Donald Trump that was wiretapped.
Incidental recovery.
No, it's not incidental.
No,
it's very
direct.
Guilty is.
Oh
is
my goodness!
Sin.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. We'll come up with that, in just a moment. But we said we would move on to the House Intelligence Committee, and there's much to talk about there. The House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes set off a stunning news political controversy Wednesday by revealing the communications of President Donald Trump and associates may have been picked up after the election by intelligence agencies conducting surveillance of foreign targets. Nunes buried the White House, hurried to the White House, Freudian slip there, hurried to the White House to personally brief Trump on the revelations after talking to the press but without sharing the information with Democrats. His Democratic counterpart on the committee, Representative Adam Schiff of California, warned that his colleague had cast a profound cloud over their effort to investigate Russian attempts to interfere in the election. Well, that's just Wednesday. Actually, there was a change of the story again by Chairman Nunes on Thursday.
Tonight, the Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, now saying he's not sure if President Trump and his associates were monitored by U.S. spies or just mentioned by foreigners under surveillance.
We won't know that until we actually receive all of the documentation.
It's a dramatic reversal from the certainty Nunes showed dropping this bombshell just 48 hours earlier.
I have seen intelligence reports that clearly show that the president-elect and his team were, I guess, at least monitored.
President Trump at the time saying he felt vindicated.
I somewhat do. I must tell you, I somewhat do.
So given the fact that Devin Nunes doesn't actually know if the president was monitored or whether he was even mentioned, what is he vindicated by?
Well, I think that there has been an acknowledgement that that there are documents out there showing that people were surveilled or monitored to some degree.
And tonight, new signs the investigation into the possible Russia connection that's supposed to be bipartisan is instead breaking down.
He is now interfering in this investigation.
The Intelligence Committee's top Democrat, already upset Nunes took his revelations to the president before consulting his colleagues, now accusing Nunes of trying to choke off public information by canceling an open hearing with three former top officials.
There must have been a very strong pushback from the White House. It's hard for me to come to any other conclusion.
Instead, Nunes announcing the committee will ask the directors of the FBI and the National Security Agency to come back, and that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, whose ties to Russia are under scrutiny, is volunteering to be interviewed.
We have people that continue to come forward to provide us information.
An investigation becoming as controversial as the topic it's focused on. Peter Alexander, NBC News, The White House.
You know about Nunes, don't you?
Well, I just have to say that report, courtesy of NBC News and Johnny Rivers.
Oh, Johnny Rivers. He's a farmer, and he has been a traditional farmer for quite a while, but he's gotten into growing grapes. Have you heard about that, Henry?
No.
Yeah, and his
Represents a district in California? Or?
Yeah, California, yeah. And he's got, I'm not sure of the name exactly, but he's got a major source of sales in guess what country? Russia and Ukraine. And It came out on MSNBC this morning, or I guess a little before I came here, and it's there's a strong oligarch that's there that owns.
Well, which oligarch isn't strong?
Yeah, there they go. Well, you know, what is an oligarch anyway, Henry?
Well, if I remember from economics all those years ago, an oligopoly is when a few people control the economy. So I would guess an oligarch would be one of the few people that control segments of an economy.
They're monopolies, right?
Not necessarily.
But they tend to be.
Well, you could have two or three in the same industry.
Okay. So they're not monopolies.
No, they're just a very few people.
So when we have four airlines, we have...
Well, that would be an oligopoly if it was only four, but we really have, they would tell you, competitors in Europe. And
like
the United Arab Emirates could be flying to Kansas before you know it.
There you go. And then, of course, Atlanta has only got Delta. So, you know, separation between, well,
we used to have an oligopoly in the car industry in the 50s because it was pretty much the big three.
Right.
And then the foreign competition came in.
Right. So... when is an oligarch a powerhouse? For example, I'm sure you knew this, but about 2 years ago, Russia bought, I think it was a third of the world's gold supply.
Mm-hmm.
And now they say, since that happened, Putin is the wealthiest man in the world. Did he take over the gold himself, or did he share it with friends and keep the predominant amount? This kind of power through money individually... and the killings of the critics, you have to wonder what they're doing. But what are we doing over here?
Well, being the wealthiest man in the world doesn't say that much because, I mean, think about it. There must be a couple hundred people in that country club of wealth right there billion people.
Right.
So, you know, he's got competition.
Yeah. So why would anybody vote for those guys?
Well, I don't know that they do vote for those guys.
Well, maybe they do and don't know they do. I mean, we got to point this mic. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's directional.
Okay, it's directional.
I got the multi-directional one over here. That's why I can talk in it and look at you. But you...
yeah, this whole business is very, very curious because you see all these different leaders acting in curious ways, and the curious one was when Trump was on there with Merkel, and she's coming up for election. Is it this month coming? Or April, or was it the month? I don't think she ran for office yet. So I think it's next month she runs.
Right, now she's up.
And he sits there. What did you think of their relationship when you watched? Did you watch?
They had a relationship.
Well, they were in the same space.
Well, I'm a contrarian about this whole story in a lot of ways. I think that we don't provide context. I think you have Fox News that is going to defend the administration in most cases or minimize whatever happened, and you have a near warmongering that's going on in MSNBC, and I don't really understand whose interest they're carrying the water for. I think Rachel Maddow has done some excellent investigation, or someone for her has done excellent investigation on the financial ties between Trump and his businesses and some of these oligarchs that you're talking about. The Fertilizer King is someone she's spent a lot of time on, and the transportation minister in Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan or one of those stand mm-hmm. countries. But you have to wonder, whose interests are they carrying the water for? Because they never give context. They talk about Russian aggression in Ukraine. They talk about Russian intervention in our election. And they always, always, always fail to give the context that, well, actually, we tried to interfere in Putin's election. We tried and funded the resistance and the color revolutions in places like Georgia and Ukraine and other, and also they don't give the context that when George H.W. Bush, Daddy Bush, was president and the Soviet Union collapsed, that James Baker gave Gorbachev assurances that we wouldn't try and move NATO up to their border. What have we done? We've moved NATO right up to their border. We have threatened them more than they have threatened us. We have interfered in their near politics than they have with us. They haven't interfered, as far as we know, in a significant way in the Canadian elections or the Mexican elections. They don't have military alliances on the Rio Grande or the Great Lakes. I am not diminishing that they are rivals and adversaries, but what kind of adversary or enemy are they really? Their military doctrine is to be able to defeat another military entity within 600 miles of their border. Where are they projecting their power now that we are really, our vital interests are threatened? Our expansion that's being threatened by them.
Well, whose expansion is really the question?
And the speaking of oligarchs, the financial interests that carry the wealth of the corporations that will extend in to where the American empire's influence extends.
Well, when you see the ban on the Muslim travel, the one country that particularly is interesting to me is Saudi Arabia. They're not on the ban. And Saudi Arabia is well known to be the primary financier of ISIS. And ISIS is the agent of change in the Middle East to impose Sunni extremist Muslim law. And they're warring. There's no mention of the starving of the Yemen by Saudi bombing and killing of the what they call the Houthis, who really Shia Muslims who want they don't want a Sunni king. And in the whole Middle East area, Saudi Arabia is a prime promoter, and they sit on trillions of dollars, not billions, and they represent 15 million people. When you have that kind of power, you've got and you've got adjacent to them a representation of the Shia, which is Tehran, basically, in the Farsi language of that, that connects with Hezbollah, which is a threat to Israel. You have this threat to the radical Sunni Wahhabism by a more moderate
relatively
but they really are more moderate in that their way, if you look at the way they treat their women, the women of Saudi of Israel,
Iran
are educated, they drive their own cars, they can be in the parliament, all the things that you'd expect a Western society to be like. So they're more Western like, and the opposite is true in Saudi Arabia. And yet they...
Well, you can't say that, though, about the Iranian allies like Hezbollah and some of the others.
Well, I can go there if you like.
Well, let's not go there, because what I want to wrap up or extend more is what are the common interests we have with Russia? Because the fact is that Russia is a more natural ally or partner than it is an adversary or enemy. You look at the geographic. Where do they really geographically contend with us? You might say Europe. You might say the Middle East. But the Middle East is not a vital interest to the U.S. anymore, like it was in the Carter administration. We are not as dependent on the energy there as we used to, and the Saudis know that too, because we don't have quite the infatuation, as I say, generally as we used to. Where the real place that we could contend in competition with Russia and where we need to reach an accommodation is the Arctic Circle. Now, people don't see that on a map because it's just that long line that runs along the top of a rectangular map. But if you look at a globe, their border and our border with Alaska and other places that seem to be contentions in the North Sea, like Norway or Sweden, have claims to the minerals in the Arctic. So that's when you have wealth, like wealth in the Arctic, you can have conflict over it. So if we have an accommodation with Russia, we will have eliminated a point of conflict for the globe. Now, secondly, and I want to make this, if you go back to Nixon, when he tilted to China, or got China to tilt towards us away from Russia, who is Russia's main adversary? As much as they cooperate and much as the economic ties, we hear about what the new Silk Road, you've done shows about that, and about the land bridge through Eurasia, etc. Russia has a diminishing population. China has an expanding population. Forget about our immigration problems. Look at the wealth in eastern Russia. And what would happen if
I don't know, a small number of Chinese, like 100 million, moved across the border through Mongolia and just occupied
in the summer of Siberia. I think the other element is Turkey and Iran. Turkey sits on the largest natural gas supplies in the world, more than Russia. And the relationship of running gas lines through Turkey has happened. Russia forgave a shooting down of a passenger plane by Turkey over getting a pipeline through there, since they didn't want to put it in any connection to Iran. Iran is on the verge of an election with Rouhani under threat right now, the prime minister.
Well, let's pause for a second, because the next story ties a lot of this all together. So let's wrap this up.
Right.
And where do you think the investigation is going to go? We're going to get a special prosecutor, a special select committee?
Back to Nunes. And they're going to have to remove him, or they're going to have to just call for the special prosecutor. And it's going to come quickly if Trump sees that's his only way of getting an accommodation politically and criminally. And if he decides he can get something from the Democrats, it's going to have to come with the Democrats and a few of the Republicans. If McCain is not going to go for that and in the Senate. And Lindsey is a waffler historically. He'll sound very tough, but he'll waffle. It's hard to know what he'll do. You've got other more moderates in terms of what we consider Republicans to be that may join into this thing. As Trump weakens, the special prosecutor is going to strengthen in terms of idea. That's kind of where I see it.
I think there will be a bloodless emasculation of the Trump administration, that the toll will be taken around his inner circle, but that there will be plausible deniability for Trump on almost
demanding
everything.
Demanding that Bannon leave?
Well, not so much demanding, but the forces and pressure will mount that Bannon would leave, that there may be distance put between the Jared Kushner. Mm-hmm. There's a whole topic
there's
of corruption.
There's a fight that just erupted
there.
Yesterday, yeah.
The people that are around him now would be moved out, and more acceptable people to the Republican establishment will come in, and you'll get a more conventional type of activity. Although, I would like to see a rapprochement with Russia, and I think the world could be a safer place with that tilt of Russia away from China to us. But we'll get into the geopolitics in the next segment, because we promise that since we were talking, tried to talk about the House Intelligence Committee investigation of the Trump-Russia ties and Obama's wiretapping of President Trump.
Allegedly, is the fly in the ointment there.
Well, so as I said, we had again the investigative team here works night and day to find these things for us, and so we actually have been given the audio of an actual wiretap phone call of President Trump that President Obama wiretapped. I just can't sugarcoat it.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, who is it?
Donald J. Trump is calling.
Fearless leader, what have I done?
We have losers.
What I do? I didn't do nothing. What I do?
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
What I do? I didn't do nothing. What I do?
I don't think so. No.
Now, let's not be hasty, fearless leader.
I've been watching you for the last couple of weeks. We're ready to start shooting.
I would do various things very quickly.
Not be hasty, fearless leader, old body boy, Schmitty Pie. I can make it all up. I turn back all my medal, my mortgage on the Pentagon, and last but not least, my autographed picture of Sonny Tofts. No, on second thought shoot, I'd rather die than part with it.
Donald, are you talking to someone?
Nobody.
Is somebody in there with you?
Nobody.
Donald, I'm coming in.
Phew, that was close, Natasha.
Well, there you go. Proof is in your ears.
Yeah.
You're going to believe the media, the fake news, or your lying ears?
The Washington Steps, I think, would be the place to go, I would say, in something like that. It sounds like one of their particular...
Yeah, but they're satire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, no. They. I have some Capital Steps that I could play, but that was from the Henry Raines Show investigative team solely is responsible for that. No one else is claiming that.
Hmm. Well, your productions are producing things. It's always interesting, Henry.
It's a mystery where they come from. That's for sure.
Sure, sort of like some of the hamburger you get at McDonald's, mystery meat.
Well,
anyway,
it is a mystery what's going on over in Israel and Syria because it hasn't been reported. I don't know if I've seen anything about this on the MSNBC hosted shows. I don't haven't really since Megyn Kelly left Fox. I don't have much reason.
What has happened to Megyn Kelly?
She'll be on NBC soon enough. She'll be back on the air.
Yeah.
And
she's nursing at home. The Israeli thing is quite interesting to me.
Well, so for people that haven't heard, an Israeli drone targeted a Syrian militiaman outside of a Golan town on Sunday, March 19th. And
Golan in the Syrian side.
The Golan Heights of that border. Well, I mean, there's occupied Golan Heights by Israel, but originally it was all Syria's.
Right.
Anyway, now you're really splitting hairs, especially if you're talking to Bibi Netanyahu.
There you go.
Anyway, that followed an Israel Arrow 2, which shot down a Syrian anti-air missile on the Friday before. The targets were hit. After the airstrike, Israel's ambassador to Moscow, Kerry Korn, was summoned to the Russian Foreign Ministry to hear a warning from the deputy foreign minister. Well, then 2 days later, the Israeli Defense Forces were again in action, again on the Golan. After the individual was killed, the ambassador was called back again to Moscow. But in the meantime, what's been going on that has gotten Israel upset is Hezbollah moving into militias into the Golan Heights more than they've been there before, and Russia has tried to keep a lid on this because the last thing they need is another front opening up in Syria when they're trying to resolve the situation in their favor and Bashar Assad's favor with the civil war that's going on in Syria. They don't need a new war cropping up on the edges of it. And they...
Do you think Netanyahu can sit idly by and let that get under control? Because you do know... Who are the rebels and who are the what is it? I mean, there is a distinctive difference. The rebels, it's my understanding, are ISIS, really.
No, that's just one faction. If you look at what's going on, we've sent some troops into Syria now for training or whatever we're labeling it.
Biden got killed.
Our military seems to be focused more on Mosul, where we just had an airstrike that killed a bunch of civilians. But in the big scheme of things, what's another 100 civilians? And yeah, I know you don't like that kind of talk.
No, I think that Stalin said that long ago. You know, millions and millions of dead.
One death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic.
Exactly, Stalin.
So, well, wearing my Stalin cop here. Anyway, so we're talking about Russia, and anyway, so. Yeah, they have to protect their border. They have the high ground there. They don't want to lose that. But Russia wants to... We were going on this. You asked about ISIS. Well, you have the Al-Nusra Front. You have some of these
other groups. They're all conjoined.
Yeah. Well, yes. And even in those groups, you have the different Arab patrons that have their own favorites, where Saudi Arabia may have funded ISIS, and then they got a little useless to them. But they had money going into the Al-Nusra Front, so they had their boys there. And then a couple other groups that I don't know the names of. And then United Arab Emirates. Yeah. And then who was the... And then there was the rivalry between Saudi Arabia and I think United Arab Emirates and then Qatar. They all have their factions.
The one thing, though, that group has in common, they take no refugees. Saudi Arabia takes none. The Arab Emirates take none. So the problems that are... And now...
So they have no immigration problem.
That's right. So now you have Leslie Stahl asking Mr. Netanyahu about 2 months ago on 60 Minutes Now, let's say you've been saying that Iran is the big threat in the Middle East, and because Israel is being threatened all the time, and we know that the one with the atomic bombs or the nuclear weapons is Pakistan. And by the way, Mr. Netanyahu, says Leslie Stahl, why are you so avoiding talking about Saudi Arabia? Response by Mr. Netanyahu, well, they just seem to be getting better. Now, he didn't say better at what, but better and more accommodating, I guess, is what the word would be. There, to me, that is where the real flip in the Middle East, Henry, I think, is going to come because of what Saudi did in the Hajj and what they did to the Imam, the Shia Imam, about a year or so ago. They're going to have a direct confrontation from Iran. That's where the fight's coming.
And we won't get a chance to talk about it today, but one story that just surfaced towards the end of this past week. Speaking of imams, we have the Turkish imam that is exiled in the United States. The Wall Street Journal report says that former CIA chief and former advisor to the Trump administration, James Woolsey, met with former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn in September before the election with officials or representatives from Turkey to discuss kidnapping covertly this person right out of the United States, which
American
might
citizen.
Be a violation of... Is he an American citizen or just a legal resident?
I don't want to say too... he's pretty safe in this country, let's put it that way.
He thinks he's safe.
Well, he thought he was, let's put it that way. And, maybe it's like China. You never know who's going to come up and slap whipped cream on your head and end up dead like they do in England. This thing of poisoning people in various exotic ways seems to be any opponent.
All the rage.
It's the rage. It's a fad at the time. Will it pass? We'll find a new way to kill them or try it more than once. As one guy that's been hit twice.
Yeah, one fallout from the whole Russia election thing is our media has really elevated the importance and power of the Russian prestige around the world.
Yeah.
Acting like what happened is such a great geopolitical effort.
Isn't that what Morning Joe did for Trump? When he first started running, he was on constantly on Morning Joe.
Well, ratings.
Yeah. Just, hello, Joe. Have
a cup
of coffee.
Call in? I mean, how many other guests get to call in every day?
I just don't know.
Well, they flipped the coin now, and they're bashing him every morning, so it all worked out in the end.
Well, and are we going to get, after all is said and done, are we going to get rid of the college that said, John Adams said about the president at the time, well, you won on the backs of blacks, Thomas Jefferson, and that's how you won this election. That is quoted from John Adams in those days.
Oh, John Adams held a grudge.
Well, there you go. There you go. So the Electoral College, we still have that wonderful edifice, and we still worry about the vote.
Wow. Well, I want to thank Augie Smith for coming in, and hopefully someday you'll be able to hear him regularly again on this venue or another venue, or we'll keep you posted as that happens. And I'm sure that we can get him to come back up on the drive from Sarasota once the spring break traffic has finally faded away.
Amazing, amazing, Henry. Thank you very much, Henry.
And we will be back next week with Alan Cross. He'll join me in the studio and hopefully a surprise guest also. But you can be sure we'll be here at 12:05 with the Henry Rain Show.
Where were you born?
Hey, you one of those dudes that do horoscopes, man? Hey, I'm a Cancer with a bad moon.
Right here, El Fago. Watch my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy used to be on death. Death Valley days. John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.